Are Pistons fans possibly watching the Detroit Pistons version of what the Golden State Warriors developed and built in their franchise over the past decade? We'll talk about that and some other questions that you guys sent in for today's episode of a Locked On Pistons mailbag.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I am your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to our YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. Or if you've already done that, or if you're one of the people listening on the podcast platforms, leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you'd like to do that on. That's another great way to support the podcast. And like I said in the cold intro, we are going to be answering a lot of questions that you guys sent in for this episode of the mailbag. But first, I have to tell you guys a few updates real quick. First, I'm going to hype up the last episode that we just recorded. The last episode we dropped on Monday was with a special guest, Micah Lancaster. He is the founder of I'm Possible Training. He was the trainer in the hit movie on Netflix, Hustle. The movie with Adam Sandler and Bo Cruz that was out this past, a few months ago. It was a really good movie, basketball movie. He is the trainer in there, so you guys may have seen him in there. Or you guys may just know him as the guy who's been training Isaiah Livers this past offseason. We had him on the podcast. It was a ton of fun. He gave a lot of insight. It was just really fantastic. If you guys haven't checked it out already, make sure you guys go check that out. It was an amazing podcast. Another update for you guys, Media Day is in a week, is on the 26th. So the season's coming close. We're going to get Media Day, some interviews, some quotes on the 26th. So stay tuned for that. And lastly, as usual, I'm getting married at the end of this month. So I will not be around for the end of this month and the beginning of preseason next month in October. Just giving you guys that heads up, as I've always been doing. Just so you guys aren't caught off guard that you guys don't have any or updated videos or any reviews of preseason games, etc. That's why I'm going to be down in Jamaica, just letting you guys know, so you guys aren't caught off guard. But anyways, let's get into some of the questions that you guys sent in for today's episode. And the first one I want to talk about is actually a pretty interesting question that I thought was pretty cool to see. I want to hear your guys' thoughts on this question as well. So hit me up over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill, or comment in the comment section down below. But this one's from Twitter. It's from the HC16. He says, do you think the Pistons can make a Warriors-level dynasty run with one more good top 10 draft pick? And who has a higher chance of winning Rookie of the Year, the lob threat rebounding Jalen Duren or the jaw-like Jaden Ivey? So the first part of this question is what I really want to spend a lot of time on real quick. And then I'll get to your second part of the question. I think the second part of the question is pretty easy to answer. But the first part, I think, is incredibly interesting because I feel like a lot of Pistons fans have, and rightfully so, because of what the Pistons have been through the past like decade or so, and how quickly Troy Weaver has completely turned this team around and brought in a good young core to feel good about. The Pistons fan base is completely in love with this core that he did put together this far. 2 years into his job, they absolutely love this young core. They're in love with them. So I feel like a lot of Pistons fans do believe that this core is the core that's going to be around when the Pistons win a championship. We already have it. We just need to watch them improve, add a few little outside pieces, and they'll be ready to go in like 5 years. If you listen to the podcast, I'm not so much of that thinking, but I'm sure a lot of people probably weren't of that thinking at the beginning of the Warriors' little dynasty run or dynasty building blocks that they started when they drafted Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. I'm sure they weren't sitting around saying, oh, this is the big three that's going to go win 4 or 5 championships in the future. Like, I'm sure that wasn't happening. So am I saying that's impossible? No, because like I said, it's very rare that you like can see that kind of thing happening. At the beginning, it's very unlikely that you see it. So I'm not going to rule it out completely. But I don't know if they have it, and I've said before on the podcast that I believe that the Pistons' best way, and we've talked about it a bunch, I feel like their best way of becoming a championship contender is eventually they're going to make, I don't think it's going to come from free agency, I think it's eventually going to come from pulling the trigger on a big trade, using some of these young core pieces to go get a big time person who wants out of their situation, or someone that's just simply available. Maybe their team's blowing it up and they're trying to get picks or something, or young players, something like that. I think that's the Pistons' best route, and that's the most likely route that I see with this Pistons team becoming a championship team. I'm not going to say dynasty, because dynasty is very rare, but just simply a championship contender type of team, that's the route I see. So how many of the young core players do I see that could possibly be around for that? Maybe could be around for the Warriors type of level jump with the young guys. Kay Cunningham for sure. One of Jane Ivey or Sadiq Bey, because I believe in a trade to get a big time player, you have to give up one of those guys. You're not going to be able to get a big time player by just giving away your spare parts. That's not how trades work. You have to give up one of your key guys, and they're not going to give up Cade. Obviously Cade is the guy that's going to stay. So I think one of Jaden or Sadiq will be on this team when they're competing for championships at some point. I don't know if both of them will be around. I think at least one of them will be. I think Jalen Duren is probably going to be around. I think Isaiah Livers will likely be around. I think Isaiah Stewart will likely be around. Those are my guesses right now. I don't believe Killian will be around. And like I said, I believe one of Sadiq or Ivy will be gone because they'll be moved in a trade for one of those big time players to pair with Kay Cunningham and whoever else. But that's what I believe. I believe that's the most likely scenario that you're going to see. I believe that's what Troy Weaver is trying to do by assembling all these young players and this treasure chest of assets that we've caught on the podcast many, many of times. He's really stacking that treasure chest with full of assets to be able to move and be prepared when a young guy or a young player or a star wants out. So where the Pistons are one of the teams that teams are like, oh, or not teams, but analysts are like, oh, this team makes sense. They have the pieces to get it done. I think that's where they're eventually heading towards. And while maintaining the financial flexibility to pull something like that off, I think they've done a great job in keeping themselves available and keeping that possibility open. I think that's what I'm seeing most likely to happen. But the second part of your question was if they added the top 10 pick next season. And I don't know if a top 10 pick would do it. But I should say, I think a top pick, like a top 3 pick, maybe. Because I really like Victor and Scoot, I think are like, if you pair them with Cade, I think it's just utterly scary for the next like 10 years. Like it's going to be scary. That's why I really want them to really get a top pick, because I think if you can get them with Cade, it would be some scary stuff in Detroit going on for the next decade or so. But maybe even top 5. If you can get a top 5 pick, I think maybe you could probably look at it like that too. I think Cade, Jane Ivey, if Jane Ivey improves with a top 5 pick next year in what is an incredibly deep draft, a draft class that everyone thinks is going to be fantastic. If you compare it with one of those players, heck, and then with Sadiq, I think maybe then, depending on how guys develop this season, then just maybe you might be getting closer to that. I still think that you'd have to pull a trade off to get someone with these guys. So one of them will still have to go. But if you add a top 5 pick, I think you're closer to doing it organically like the Golden State Warriors did. I think you're coming closer to that than you are right now. Right now, I can't say they're there yet. I'm not a believer in that yet. But I think if they add another pick, which you guys already know, for those of you who've been listening to the podcast a lot, consistent listeners, you guys will know that's what I want to happen. I want them to add one more top pick. And just to real quick to, you know, buffer that point, I saw someone tweet, it was a writer for CBS. He was talking about the Charlotte Hornets, and they're talking about how the Hornets messed up, because when you get a franchise player, when you get a player that you believe is a franchise player, like they did with LaMelo, Cade, etc., when you get one of those guys, you only have a limited time to get top picks before you have to start rebuilding the team, or building the team forward, I should say. And the Hornets messed up because they accelerated that. They went too quickly with that, and they missed their chance to get another top pick. Now their roster's screwed. They have a bunch of cap stuff. They went after Hayward, and he wasn't the right thing. Now they're really screwed cap-wise with Bridges and his whole situation. They're screwed because now they can't go out and try to get another top pick now. If they do that, LaMelo's going to want out. So when you get that franchise player, you have, I'd say, 2 years. You have 2 years to try to get top picks around him. And this is the second year for Cade. I think this is the last year that you can do that. And that's what I want for the Pistons. Because I do believe if they can get like a top five pick, you're getting closer to that Warriors organically building a championship caliber team without having to pull big moves off, without having to, you know, sign, overpay big free agents, without having to sacrifice a lot of your young core to go trade for a big guy. Like, I think they'll get closer to that if they can get one more pick in the top of the draft to pair with these guys. I think then they're getting a lot closer to it. But right now, I can't say that I think they're there right now. But like I said, I'm not going to rule it out. I'm not going to say it's impossible because no one was saying this about the Warriors at the very beginning either. Heck, people thought they should trade Stephen Curry instead of Monte Ellis. Like, people were saying that back then. So you never know. We'll see what happens. But that's where I stand right now. Let me know what you guys think about that whole type of scenario in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at KuCahill. When we get back, we'll answer more of your guys' questions, like the other part of his question that he had, who's more likely to win the Rookie of the Year on the Pistons, Jalen Duren or Jaden Ivey, and a few other questions that you guys sent in. We'll get to those ones. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's college football games. BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sport wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. And if you head over to BetOnline.net, you will see, and if you click on the basketball section, you'll see that Jaden Ivey has the third highest odds to win Rookie of the Year. That's the kind of thing you can already get done over there at BetOnline.net. If you want to get ahead of the season, you can look at who's the favorite for MVP, favorite to win the championship, favorite to get a top pick, favorite to end with the worst record, best record, sixth man of the year, most improved, all that kind of stuff. You can already get a head start at BetOnline.net. So again, head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So, for those of you guys watching on YouTube, you guys will see that we had a cool little graphic now for BetOnline.net at the bottom of the screen when I read the ads. Pretty cool graphic. You guys got to let me know what you guys think about it. But anyways, enough of that. Let's get into the more of your guys' questions that you guys sent in for this episode of the Mailbag Podcast. And again, I'm going to hype up last episode again. I'm going to continue to hype that episode up because it was amazing. We recorded with Michael Lancaster, founder of I'm Possible Training. He's trained over 100 NBA players, most notably for Pistons fans. He trained Isaiah Livers all offseason. He's been training Isaiah Livers, spoiler alert, that you hear in that podcast, but he's been training him since his sophomore year at Michigan. He dives deep into what Isaiah Livers has been doing this past offseason, what's been the focus of his offseason training, and a bunch of other cool stuff. It was an amazing episode. I really think you guys should go check it out. A lot of insightful stuff. It was amazing. I think you guys will love it if you haven't checked it out already. But anyways, let's get back to some of these questions. So the guy from the first question, he asked, who has the most likely chance of winning the Pistons Rookie of the Year, Jalen Duren or Jaden Ivey? I think this one's pretty easy. I think Jaden Ivey, because Jaden Ivey's guaranteed minutes. Right now, we don't know if Jalen Duren's going to get minutes. We've talked about that a lot on the podcast. The big man rotation does not make a lot of sense. Someone can't play. Someone's going to have to sit. And it sounds like they want to play Nerlens Noel, because right after they trade for him, it says the Woj tweeted out that they wanted to keep Noel because they liked how he fit with the team. So it sounds like they want to play Noel. I don't know. I mean, I think the thing that makes the most sense right now is that Jalen Duren spends some of the time in the G League before they move some of the big guys to create more space for him, like they did last season around the deadline. And then all of a sudden, after the deadline, they have a more complete or make sense type of roster at that point. So I think that's the most likely scenario right now. So with that question mark around Jalen Duren and whether he'll actually get consistent minutes, I think it's very clearly Jaden Ivey. And even if Jalen Duren did get consistent minutes, I don't know if you would go with him over Jaden Ivey still, because Jaden Ivey was the fifth overall pick and he has such high expectations. But I know people really love Jalen Duren too. And the Pistons apparently were okay with taking him fifth, Jalen Duren. So they think just as high of him as they do Jaden Ivey. So I'm sure they wouldn't be shocked, but I think the favorite for this would obviously be Jaden Ivey. But I guess you could possibly see another way where Jalen Duren happens. But either way, I got Jaden Ivey winning the Pistons Rookie of the Year. Next question is from at My Pistons on Twitter. Asked, what is your prediction for Kemba Walker? So we talked about this at the end of like a few episodes ago. I think it was like three or four episodes ago. James Edwards III wrote an article. I think it was a mailbag article for The Athletic. But also, he talked about it a little bit apparently on his podcast. I didn't listen. Someone told me. But apparently, I did read the article though. But apparently what is being said from James Edwards, at least, the Athletic Detroit Pistons beat writer, is that the Pistons want to buy out Kemba Walker. That is the plan. They want to buy him out. But in order to agree to a buyout, you need the player to agree. And right now, apparently, Kemba Walker does not feel confident that if he agreed to a buyout, he would be signed by another NBA team. So basically, he's concerned that if he gets bought out, he'll just be out the league. So he doesn't want to accept a buyout right now. Also, there's a chance that the Pistons may want to try to use his salary in a trade that needs some matching salary and a team that may want to take on Kemba Walker for 1 year as an expiring contract. So that's what's going on with Kemba. He's not going to be on the roster. I think it's like 99.99% chance that he's not on the roster. And by some chance, he is on the roster some like crazy way, which is that everyone involved says that's not going to happen. But if some way he's on the podcast. If some way he's on the team this season, he's not going to play. They'll just pay him to stay home or pay him to stay on the bench and just clap his hands, basically. So I think he eventually gets bought out. But, he's not going to be on the roster. Don't worry. He's not going to be taking minutes from people. I think he'll eventually get bought out. It's just a matter of him okaying it and agreeing to it. Or maybe a trade comes along that maybe he fits salary-wise into and the Pistons can jump into it, make it a three-team deal or something. I don't know. Maybe that happens, but Kemba Walker will not be on this roster at the beginning of the season. Anyways, next question is from Jamar on Twitter. He says, congratulations on the wedding. Appreciate you, man. I really do. Should the Pistons play the young guys and hope to get the top three pick with a chance to draft Victor Wembanyama or go more with veteran players? Well, they shouldn't go with veteran players. They should be playing all their young guys, and I think that's the plan. I think all the offseason moves, and we've talked about this a lot on the podcast too, all the offseason moves that Troy Weaver has made points to the idea that they're going to play the young guys. They don't care about wins and losses. And the Pistons assistant general manager, I forget his name right now, I'm drawing a blank, but the assistant general manager for the Pistons went on the Pistons Pulse podcast, Amar Sankofa, the Detroit Free Press beat writer, his podcast with Bryce Simon, who's always on our podcast here. He went on their podcast and he talked about how success is not going to be viewed in the win-loss column. He said that. And their offseason moves agree with that. It points to the fact that they're not concerned about the win-loss record. They're concerned about getting these young guys a ton of minutes and letting them develop. So I don't think you have to be worried about veteran players. Now it's just a matter of what you think will happen if they just play all the young guys. I think that's going to end up being a lot of losing. Usually when you play a team full of 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds, you're not going to be great. And a lot of these guys are not good NBA players yet. They may be good for where they're at right now. They may be good for their age. They may be good for second, third, first-year players. But in the grand scheme of things, comparing them to every NBA player, most of them are not good NBA players yet. So I don't think that they're going to be a great team this season. I think it's going to end up with a lot of losses this year. But as long as they get better, that's the plan. That sounds like what the assistant GM was basically saying. All the offseason moves basically were saying the same thing. So I think it just comes down to what you think will happen, basically, if you play all the young guys. I think that's going to mean more losing. If you think that means pushing for the play-in somehow, then obviously they don't get a top three, top five pick. But if you agree with me, then you think they're probably going to end up with another top five pick with a chance to get Victor, with a chance to get Scoot, depending how the lottery shakes out. So to answer the question, I think the Pistons 100% will be playing the young guys. You don't have to worry about the veterans. And then after that, it just depends how you feel about the young guys, how much they play, and what that means for win-loss column. But anyways, let's move into the next question. This one's from Kyle Metz. He says, would you rather Hami become a perennial all-star or Cade win one MVP? This one's easy for me. It's easy. Cade Cunningham win one MVP. At least one MVP. Because if he wins one, that means he could win another. And possibly another. Hami becoming a perennial all-star, that would be great for this team building. And maybe that would maybe even be better than Cade becoming an MVP for like building this team moving forward. Like if you can add another all-star that's already on your team that's cheap right now, heck, that probably would mean more to the team right now. But I don't care. I don't care. I want K to win an MVP. So if I'm getting given that chance, I want K to win an MVP. And if he wins one, like I said, that means he could win another. He can win another one after that too. Like that means he's a top five player in the NBA. And that in and of itself makes the Pistons a championship contender if he's doing stuff like that. So I'm taking that all day, every day. I don't care who you put over. Actually, you know what? I lied. I'm telling a lie right now. If you could tell me that Killian would become a perennial All-Star or Cade won one MVP, I might take Killian becoming a perennial All-Star. Actually, I'm not even going to say I'm lying. You guys know the truth here. I would take Killian being a perennial All-Star. And that's my own bias. I can admit that. That's me being a fan of Killian Hayes and wanting him to succeed. So I can admit that. But I'm going to do it anyways. I'm still going to take it, despite it being a little bit biased. Even though some of you guys may agree that having like one of these young guys has become a perennial All-Star may actually like help this team's team building more than just hoping Cade wins an MVP one day. You know what? The more I talk about it, the more I'm like starting to convince myself that maybe Cade winning an MVP would not be the best thing. Nonetheless, I'm taking Cade winning an MVP over Hami becoming an All-Star. It is what it is. Hate me and yell at me in the comment section if you want. It is what it is. I want Cade to win MVP. When we come back, though, we'll answer more of your guys' questions that you guys sent in to today's mailbag podcast. If you guys want to appear on one of these mailbag podcasts, again, you can comment a question over on the YouTube section or any comment section on any of the YouTube videos, or you can go over to Twitter, tweet me at Kukahill, just put hashtag mailbag. I'll know it's for the mailbag, and you could possibly hear your question, I should say, on the next mailbag. But first, you guys got here from one of our lovely sponsors. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button at Locked On Pistons, or leave a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That is another great way to support the podcast. Let's answer some more questions that you guys sent in. This one's from a YouTube comment section. It's from Maria. I believe I said that name right. If I didn't, I'm sorry. But she says, what do you think is a Cade Ivy duo potential? I think the Cade Ivy duo's potential, and when you say potential, I'm going to assume you mean like their ceiling. I would say like one of the best backcourts in the entire NBA. That meaning that I guess in a certain season they could be the best backcourt in the NBA. But I think that backcourts in the NBA are starting to become like so good. And starting to become more of a trend that I think any given season you could come up with like a new backcourt possibly that could be better. Like it was always Steph and Klay. Now you got some other players chiming in. You got Trey and DeJounte Murray. I think they're an incredible backcourt duo that I'm really a fan of the Atlanta Hawks team. I really like the fact that they went out and got DeJounte Murray. I really like DeJounte. I think he's a really good player. You got the Cleveland Cavaliers now with Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. That's a heck of a pairing, too. Obviously, down in Minnesota, you got a backcourt of D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards. Memphis Grizzlies, you got Ja and whoever else you want to put at the off-guard position. If you want to consider Desmond Bane as the off-guard, that's a really good one right there. You got Philadelphia, you got Shake Milton, and you got James Harden. Just going down and down and down and down the list, you're going to find a lot of backcourts that are really, really freaking good. So do I think that they're going to consistently be the best one in the NBA? Probably not, because even Steph and Klay, them being Hall of Famers, have not been consistently the best ones every single year. Maybe until like 2-3 years ago when Klay got hurt, but that's part of it. Now they're not. Even with them both being healthy this past season, I don't know if you would say they were the best backcourt. Steph is the best point guard in the league, but I don't know if you would say they were the best backcourt still because of how deep the backcourt position is now with teams. So I think they can be one of the best backcourts any given season for the next maybe 8 years if Jaden Ivey gets to his potential, if Kay Cunningham gets to his potential, and maybe a few seasons, they could be the best backcourt in the NBA. I think that's what their ceiling is, and if they do reach that, I think it's looking really good for the Pistons' championship aspirations at whenever they're ready. This next question is another one from YouTube. This one's from Hunter. says, are you familiar with the free agency class next season? If so, why or who do you think are some realistic targets for the Pistons? So I was looking at the free agency for next season after this question was asked. And obviously I've looked at next year's free agency a little bit because it looks like next season is when the Pistons are going to try to make a swing, whether that's in free agency or a trade because of how the cap looks like they're sizing it up. They're going to have a ton of cap room next offseason, a ton of flexibility, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm looking at the free agency to see who could the Pistons go after, who could they be interested in. And I'm not going to lie, it's a little bit disappointing. It's not a great free agency class for the Detroit Pistons, which makes me believe, it's one of the main reasons I believe that the move will be coming from trade, not a free agency signing. They may make, obviously, they have a lot of cap space, so they'll probably make a few free agency signs. But a big splash in free agency, I don't see that coming. I think that comes in free or in a trade market. Who knows who gets involved in the trade, who is the person they eventually trade for. But that's where I see right now, because free agency just isn't that great. Some of the unrestricted free agents, you got Russell Westbrook, ugh. You got Kyrie, ugh. Kevin Love, ugh. Andrew Wiggins may be a good one if he proves last season wasn't like a one-year wonder. If he continues on like that, maybe Andrew Wiggins would be a good signing, though he'll be like 29 at that time. I think he wouldn't be on the timeline of the Pistons. It wouldn't make much sense. I don't think the Pistons will be ready for contention next season. I think their seasons to be like contention will probably be like 24, 25. I think that's when you'll really see them start to make that big splash into like top four, top five seeding in the Eastern Conference. So I don't know if Andrew Wiggins really lines up with that. D'Angelo Russell doesn't make sense. Al Horford's old as dirt. Nikola Vucevic will also be old as dirt. Harrison Barnes, not really. Bojan Bogdanović, not really. Caris LeVert, no, he's going to be old as dirt. I mean, let me stop trolling. He's not going to be as old as these other guys. I'm saying old as dirt. But he'll probably be like, I think he's going to be 30 at that time. There's just not that many guys in free agency next year that the Pistons, I think, will really be interested in. Maybe some wings. I can see them possibly being interested in like a Kelly Oubre. Heck, like I said earlier, Andrew Wiggins. I can see maybe something like that. Maybe even a Dylan Brooks possibly for the cheap. Or not maybe the cheap, but cheaper than some of these other potential signings. But outside of that, man, I don't see much for the Pistons to be really entertaining. The one guy that I think would make the most sense with this team, depending, and this depends on how the big man rotation looks like this season, is Miles Turner. I've always liked Miles Turner. I've always thought Miles Turner would be great for the Pistons. I always thought that he would be a great fit with what they need, even during the Drummond times, after they got rid of Drummond. Even now, I think he would be a great fit. So if like the big man rotation doesn't look great, or they want pair Miles Turner. God, if I could speak literally, like, my God. Miles Turner and Jalen Duren in the starting lineup, if they want to pair those guys up, maybe. I could see that. If they want to pair Miles Turner and Isaiah Stewart together, I could see that possibly as well. But outside of that, I don't really see anything, man. So it's going to be interesting, dude. I really do think that they're probably going to use that cap space to take on a big contract and a trade for a big-time guy possibly. I don't know who it is at this point. New guys become available every 2 weeks, it seems. So we'll see what happens at that time. Another guy that I could possibly see them, and this is a restricted free agent. I think they could be more active in restricted free agency, but restricted free agency is always hard. You rarely ever get the guy you're going after. But Jordan Poole, I could see them going after him. I could see them going after Tyler Hero. Maybe I could see them going after, I mean, these aren't like big time guys like Rui Hachimura. I could see them being interested in him. None of these guys are big needle movers. Jordan Poole, maybe. But these other guys, I don't think they're big needle movers. This is just guys I think the Pistons possibly could be interested in. Maybe Kevin Porter. I don't know. It doesn't look great. It doesn't look great, basically. I just spent 4 minutes showing you guys how it doesn't look great next free agency class. So who knows? We'll see what happens. Next question is from Corey from the YouTube section as well. Will the Detroit Pistons make it beyond the play-in tournament this season? No. People are going to disagree with me about that. You guys can go down there, yell at me. You guys can tweet at me. Oh, you don't have no hope, blah, blah. Hey, go ahead and do it. I don't believe they're going to do it. I don't think they'll get beyond the play-in. And if they do get to a play-in, something must have went incredibly right, like incredibly right for them to get to the play-in. The East is incredibly deep. I don't see how the Pistons jump more than one team in the Eastern Conference. I don't see it right now. But last question that we're going to answer here. This one was sent from my guy, Don. He says, if the Pistons were to land the second overall pick, do you draft best player available? And he assumes that would be Scoot Henderson. Or do you draft based on fit? And I'm probably never going to be a proponent of this, especially now. Maybe in the future, I may be against it somewhat, but I don't think I will. I think I'm always going to be a proponent of drafting best player available. It don't, if you end up getting the best player there, it doesn't matter what your fit is. You take the best player available because the fit could be just a bad player. You may be drafting for fit and then he's trash. You take the best player available. If he doesn't fit with your roster, then you trade him later on, or you trade the person that you want him to replace later on. Now you got more value, or you just try to make it work. Like if you have a chance at, let's just say like you had a chance at Giannis. You passed up Giannis so you could go get, or actually no, screw that example. We have one that actually happened to the Pistons. You could get Donovan Mitchell, or you can get Luke Kennard. Luke Kennard fit a little bit better. He brought spacing. The team needed spacing at that position. You get Luke because he was a fit, or you get the best player available in Donovan Mitchell, who ended up being a franchise player for the Utah Jazz. Which one do you do? I think we all know the answer to that one now. You get Donovan Mitchell. You get the best player available and figure everything else out later. Most of the time, if you get the best player available, it'll figure itself out. You're going to be in a great position. I probably will never be a proponent of drafting unfit. Unless you're already like a great team or a good team and you're just, you need something that someone at that position, maybe it's not as good as another player, but he provides what you need to take that next step, then maybe there I could understand that. Cause like if the Pistons were like close to contending and there's the best player available was a point guard and they already got Cade and Jane Ivey. And then there was a guy at the wing that maybe was a little bit worse, but he provided that two way that you need a 3-and-D guy. And that was what the Pistons really need to take over the next hump. Then I could understand it there maybe. But even then, I probably would rather still just take best player available and then trade somebody later on. Not Cade, but maybe even the guy you drafted. But I still think that's always the best thinking to do. Best player available, I feel like, is always the best outcome. You'll end up regretting it if you don't go that route. So that's just my opinion on that. I'd love to hear your guys' opinion actually on that. Do you guys operate in always best player available, always fit? Or maybe do you guys think there is a gray area? Where do you lean more? Let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kook Hill. But that's all I've got for you guys today, man. I really appreciate you guys listening. I appreciate you guys making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. The season is coming close, man. We're just like a week and a half, 2 weeks away from the first preseason game. I can't wait, even though I'm going to miss it. I'll be getting married. I will be checking the box score after our wedding. Don't tell my fiance I said that, though. Everyone be quiet about that one. But I will be checking the box score after. I probably be obsessively watching highlights while I'm down in Jamaica. But it's coming soon, man. I can't wait. Media day is going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to see what comes out of that, some quotes we get out of there. But yeah, man, make sure you guys subscribe to the YouTube channel. Make sure you guys give us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you listen to this on. Listen to the last episode with Michael Lancaster, Isaiah Livers trainer that you have seen in the hit movie Hustle on Netflix with Adam Sandler. Check it out. It was a fantastic episode. But until next time, guys, I'll see you guys later. Stay safe, everybody, and peace out.